Vasudevaya Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Narayanam Chalamurtanam Yogan Sarasatim Vyasam Satyagam Madhuvayat Nasta Parishya Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tama Shloke Bhakti Bhagavati Naistiki. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 10, Text Number 2 and 3. So we can do the first one together. Anviksheta Vishuratma.
Anviksheta Vishuratma.
Dehinam Vishayatmanam.
Dehinam Vishayatmanam.
Guneshu Tatra Dhyanena. Sāvaramba Vipāyayam. And Vikṣeta, one should see. Viṣuddha, purified. Atma, soul. Dehinam, of the embodied beings. Viṣaya Atmanam, of those who are dedicated to sense gratification. Guneshu, in the material objects of pleasure. Tattva, as truth. Jnanena, by conceiving. Sarva, of all. Aramba, endeavors. Vipāryayam, inevitable failure. Translation, a purified soul should see that because the conditioned souls who are dedicated to sense gratification have falsely accepted the objects of sense pleasure as truth, all of their endeavors are doomed to failure. Please repeat, a purified soul should see that because the conditioned souls who are dedicated to sense gratification have falsely accepted the objects of sense pleasure as truth. All of their endeavors are doomed to failure. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the Lord describes the process of becoming desirous. All material sense objects, including those perceived by their form, taste, flavor, touch, or sound, are temporary. We now see our family and nation, but ultimately they will disappear. Even our own body, by which we perceive them, will disappear. Thus, the inevitable result of material enjoyment is vipāryaya, or great suffering. The word viśuddhātmā indicates those who have purified themselves by executing the regulative duties of devotional service. They can clearly see the hopeless frustration of material life, and thus they become akāmatmā, or great souls free from material desire. Text number 3. Responsibly. Saptasya viṣaya lokā lokā Jayato va manorata Manatmikadvad vipalas Tathabedatma dirgunai Suptasya viṣaya loko Jayato va manorata Nanatmakatvadvipalas. Satabedatmadirgunai. Suttasya Vishaya Loko. Jayato Vamanorata. Nanatmakatvadvipalas. Satabedatmadirgunai. Suttasya, of one who is sleeping, Vishaya, sense gratification, Aloka, seeing, Jayata, of one who is meditating, Sa, or Manarata, merely a creation of the mind, Mana, a large variety. Atmakatvat, due to having the nature of Vipala, bereft of the real perfection, Tata, in that way, Veda Atma, in that which is separately constituted, D, intelligence, Kunai, by the material senses. Om Jnana Tamandasya Jnananjana Shlakaya Chakshuram Manatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurvaya Namah. So, devotees are very fortunate because they become purified by the potency of devotional service, and they can see the fruitless endeavors of non-devotees, karmas. And it's very clear to see how non-devotees are simply exerting so much energy to enjoy their senses or to enjoy the material world. And so devotees, they can see this very clearly because they also get so much confirmation by studying the scriptures. So Prahlad Maharaj says, Matira na Krishna prato satova mato vibhajeta griha vatanam adanta go bevishtam tamishram purnak punas chavata chavananam. This is a very important verse. Prahlad Maharaj is instructing everybody that materialistic people, they simply engage in sense gratification and they repeatedly do the same thing over and over and over again. And in this way, they simply glide down into lower forms of life and they never listen to anybody else. You cannot give them any good advice because they're completely resolute and determined to enjoy their senses because they don't know anything else. So they're very unfortunate, and devotees are very fortunate because we are enjoying our senses on the spiritual platform, hopefully. So that is real sense gratification. That real pleasure comes from engaging in Krishna consciousness. There are so many wonderful aspects of Krishna consciousness that are so enjoyable. And so we have all different types of sense gratification, from prasadam. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, according to, you know, strict adherence and great devotees that talk about devotional service, one should not eat palatable foods. But at the same time, if we deprive ourselves of too much sense gratification, then we will have difficulty giving up the grosser forms of sense gratification. Of course, prasadam isn't really sense gratification, but compared to Raghunath Das Goswami, who was eating the rejected grains, we like to eat pizza with olives and nice mozzarella and everything else. So, but at the same time, you know, we shouldn't be too, we shouldn't eat too luxuriously. But Prabhupada was concerned that we eat nicely. And he asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj, this is later on in his Leela, are the devotees eating nicely? And, you know, Tamal Krishna Maharaj said yes. So it's important to have a certain amount of sense gratification. Of course, seeing the deities is another form of sense gratification. That's something else I appreciate about going to, of course the deities here are very beautiful, it's a festival for the eyes, but if you go to New Brajadam, which I recommend everybody to visit, the temple room and the deity, the Sringasan, is so incredibly beautiful, it's so colorful, it's just, it's like a beautiful rainbow cloud descended from the spiritual world with encircling Radhe, Shyam. It's said actually that Krishna, when he's with Radharani, he's like a beautiful tamal tree surrounded by golden creepers. Can't remember the exact description, but it's very, very beautiful. So the sense gratification, and then for our ears, we hear the beautiful poetry of Sukadev Goswami or Kavi Karnapur describing the beautiful pastimes of the Lord, the beautiful descriptions of the spiritual world, the beautiful descriptions of Krishna's activities in this world. So this is sense gratification for the mind. Of course, I was listening to a very interesting talk about Sanskrit by Radhika Raman Prabhu, who you probably know as Ravi Gupta, Radhika Raman, that he got a PhD from Oxford at a very young age, very brilliant person. He was giving a very nice Sanskrit seminar. He was saying how originally, of course, people didn't write things down, because when you write things down, it's very difficult to get the exact replica of what you're trying to copy, because the mind becomes distracted. Sometimes you make a mistake when you write something down. So in the 9 process of devotional service, there's no reading or writing. There's Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, etc., etc. There's hearing, chanting, remembering. There's no reading and writing. Of course, Prabhupada wanted us to write, because in the Kali Yuga, this is one of the tools we use to spread Krishna consciousness and to express ourselves. But originally, they didn't write. They just heard. And they heard the Sanskrit, the slokas. And so, this is sense gratification, is to hear about the beautiful descriptions of the Lord. So we have sense gratification. We're not trying to be dry monists who will ultimately fall down because they don't have any sense gratification. We are trying to absorb our senses completely in spiritual matter. But the karmas, they don't have any of that. They're just trying to eat, chew, again and again and again and again. And they don't get anywhere. Just like the whole modern civilization is actually like a boomerang. You know, when you throw a boomerang, it comes back and can hit you in the face. So what they're doing, they're trying to avoid the problems of life through scientific endeavors, but they're creating more problems, just like penicillin. I was reading about this article. Is this the end of modern medicine? Because penicillin has lost its efficacy. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but apparently, penicillin is not effective like it used to be. When it was first discovered, 100 years ago or so, it was very effective. And now, through overuse, it does not quell certain disease, certain, what do they call, bacteria, anyway, whatever it is. So what happens is that new strains of diseases manifest, because bacteria is also a living entity and it doesn't want to die. So therefore it figures a way how to get around all the penicillin, because you cannot kill the soul, and therefore it avoids dying and figures a new way to spread its disease. So that's one thing. So the scientists, they're trying very hard, just like as those who are reading about this quest to find life in outer space. This is something that was advocated specifically by Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking, one of the most famous scientists on the planet nowadays, and he was thinking, there must be life out there, which he's right, there's life out there. So they've spent $100 million, they've had this research going on for 3 years, trying to find life out somewhere in the universe. They haven't found anything yet, after 3 years. But they've spent all this money, $100 million. So this is the modern civilization. Natevadu Sratakatimhi Vishnum Dharashya Yebhya Bahirata Manina. That they're simply following blind leaders. When the leaders are blind, when they have no knowledge of Atmatattva, then just the chaos ensues, like we have nowadays. Chaos. No direction, no happiness, no peace of mind. This is the modern society. So, devotees are so fortunate because we have this this very beautiful process of devotional service. And we are not trying to enjoy the senses. We're trying to make spiritual progress so that we can free ourselves from sense enjoyment. It's totally the opposite. But of course, the material world is a very dangerous place, and karma is very exacting. Just like in the story of Lord Ram with Bali. So, you probably know the story. So Ram, he was hiding behind a tree, and he killed Bali. He shot him with an arrow. And Bali was complaining. He was about to die, and he said, "Why have you done this to me? You've killed me. You're hiding behind a tree. This is not Dharma. You're supposed to be the king. You're supposed to enact religious principles, but you've done something totally irreligious." So then Lord Ram said, "Actually, what I have done is 100% completely religious. You went off with your younger brother's wife, and you enjoyed with her. Your young brother is supposed, you're supposed to be like the father to your younger brother. So therefore, his wife is like your daughter. So you're committing incest. So therefore you deserve to die, because you're a monkey, but you could have been like Hanuman, who acted like a human being, but you acted like an animal. Therefore, when a king goes to hunt, he can hide behind a tree when he hunts. That's the way they hunt. So I hid behind a tree because you were like an animal and I was hunting just like that because I'm the king." So then Bali understood that what Ram was saying was true, that he actually acted like an animal. But he had some resentment, a little bit. He really understood. He had some resentment. So therefore Krishna let him come back as Jirah. And he let him shoot him and kill him, ostensibly, not in reality. Krishna's never killed, but he pretended to be killed through the shot of the arrow. So this is karma. That you can't avoid karma. Karma is very, very minute. Every little thing we do, every little thing we think about, you know, it's just very, very involving and very complicated compared to a banyan tree. So there are many examples of great personalities who have been absorbed in sense gratification but have given it up and have finally found peace. One such example is Pururava in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of King Pururava. King Pururava was a great personality. He was the son of, who is he the son of? Anyone remember? Anyway, he was born in the dynasty of the moon god, and there was, if you read it in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's a little bit complicated, but Brihaspati, he had a wife, and his wife went off with at the moon god. What was his name? Soma, yeah. And so his wife, Brihaspati's wife, she had a baby. And there was a dispute about who the baby belonged to. And so the wife didn't want to say, she was embarrassed, and then she finally admitted that actually it was the son of the moon god. And then the baby was born, he was very beautiful, and Brihaspati, he wanted the baby because it was the son of the moon god. The moon god looked after the baby, and he had a son, and that was Pururava. And Pururava was very beautiful. But somehow or other, he fell in love with this beautiful Urvasi, So he became completely besotted with love for her. And she had two lambs. And she had said, I will only marry you if I never see you naked. And you have to look after my two lambs. I don't know why she had lambs, but she did. It's funny. Maybe she like, I don't know. Anyway, so somehow or other, Indra was missing her association because she's very, very beautiful heavenly damsel. So Indra was missing her association. So he sent some persons to steal the lambs. So they stole the lambs in the middle of the night. And because it was in the middle of the night, Puruva, he was undressed, he was in bed, but he was so afraid that she would leave him, so therefore he ran after the lambs to catch them. And he caught the lambs, but when he came back, he was naked. And Urvasi, she rejected him because he was naked. And he was always lamenting, and then somehow or other she agreed to see him again, and it's a little bit convoluted. And then in the 11th canto, Krishna himself, he cites the story of the Aila Gita. The Aila Gita is Puruva's lamentation about how foolish he was to have been so attracted to Urvasi and so foolish to have chased after her. And so he chastised himself. He got very heavy on himself. But basically, he came to the right point. He came to that point of detachment, complete renunciation. And that point is what we're all striving for. And sometimes you may have to go through some difficult periods to get to that point. Because sometimes we have to learn the hard way. Just like Ritrasura, he learned the hard way. Ritrasura was actually a great devotee, but he was in the body of a demon. And he made a mistake. He laughed at Lord Shiva being embraced by Parvati in the assembly of great personalities. He thought it was funny that Lord Shiva would be so absorbed in Parvati in front of everybody else. And so he laughed, and Parvati got very, very upset. And so she cursed him to become a demon. So he was a great devotee. Chitraketu, he was very devotional. He was going around glorifying Krishna, accompanied by so many other people. He was the leader. They were glorifying the Lord. But he made a mistake. He forgot who Lord Shiva was. He laughed at Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva didn't care, but Parvati really did care. And so, she cursed him. He was very completely composed about it. And he said, dear mother, I totally accept what you've done to me. It's perfectly all right. I'm just getting what I deserve. And Lord Shiva, he also said something very nice. My dear, beautiful Parvati, have you seen the greatness of the Vaishnavas? They are not interested in any kind of material happiness. So this is the Vaishnavas. They're not interested in any material happiness. So therefore, Krishna says in the 11th canto, he says, Maya patatmana shabhya nirapekshashashabhata. Mayatmana sukham yata kuta syad vishayatmanam. Very nice verse. O learned Oliver, those who fix their consciousness on me, giving up all material desires, share with me a happiness that cannot possibly be experienced by those engaged in sense gratification. So this is Krishna consciousness. We experience a happiness that cannot possibly be experienced by those engaged in sense gratification. And because we give up sense gratification, Krishna becomes indebted to us. Of course, that's if you're a gopi. We're not gopis. It's offensive to think you're a gopi, by the way. Prabhupada said that. But, you know, we're aspiring, we're following the footsteps. So, when Krishna left the gopis in the rasa dance to increase their attachment, just like when someone loses their wealth, they become very disturbed. And when they get it back, they're so happy. So, Krishna came back after leaving the gopis, and he said, Naparayaham nirvajasam yujam sasadi kricham vibhadaya sapiva yamabhajam durjaya gaya shinkala sambhichaya tadva patiyati sadhana. So he said, Krishna, that my dear beloved gopis, you have given up everything for me. You've given up your families, you've given up all kinds of sense gratification, which is very, very difficult to give up. So therefore, I cannot repay you, because you've given so much up for me. I'm only one, you are many. Because he didn't tell them that he could have a relationship with them all simultaneously. But anyway, Krishna is very indebted to devotees that give up all kinds of sense gratification for his sake. So this is possible because the process of devotional service is so powerful that by taking up devotional service, even if it may take many lifetimes, of course Prabhupada said, one lifetime if you chant 16 rounds a day, but we don't see everybody continues to chant 16 rounds a day. But they never leave Krishna. Krishna never leaves them. So it's a process that once you begin, you ultimately never fall back down into the material world. So we're so fortunate, and we have so many wonderful examples, contemporary examples of great devotees who are completely absorbed in spiritual katha. Just like this Radhika Raman, this amazing person, you know, right from a young age, you know, trained by his mother's, studied Prabhupada's books, his education was just Prabhupada's books. And a very powerful speaker, you know, so many great devotees. Vaisheshika Prabhu gives amazing lectures, Indrajimna Swami, so many great devotees who, they're not interested in any kind of material happiness. They're interested in, the Anandam Buddhivadanam, the ocean of transcendental bliss, that comes from spreading the glories of Sri Krishna, the Sankirtan movement. That's all we're interested in. So we should try to follow their example, try to follow the example of Srila Prabhupada. That was all he was interested in. He gave up all sense gratification just to enlighten us. Because real sense gratification, the highest sense gratification, is actually the bliss of people taking up Krishna consciousness. And that, there's one song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he talks about how Narada Muni, he's playing his Veena, Narada Muni Bhajai Vinay, and he's traveling all over the universe, and he's chanting Hare Krishna, and then Lord Shiva, he sees him, and they start to dance together, and then Lord Brahma, he dances, and they all, and the whole universe becomes submerged in bliss. So that's the whole mission of Lord Chaitanya. Because we probably heard, it's in Shyamasundar's book, how when Srila Prabhupada was in London, he was giving some talk in some hall, And he said that, didn't you see Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and Narada Muni? So they can expand themselves and they can be in so many different places at once. So it's a wonderful thing. And we have this wonderful knowledge, so many books to read, Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we should absorb our minds in hearing about Krishna and spreading Krishna's glories, and then we will be able to relish the pure nectar of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, reflections, corrections, observations? Jai. No questions. No. Okay. Yes. Hare Krishna. Mahatma. What does Mahatma mean, actually?
It's in the fourth canto. It's the name for Krishna. It's a way to say Mahatma in a superlative way. Mahatma can, an ordinary person can become a Mahatma, but nobody can become a Mahatma because it's
Mahatma
only
is higher than a Mahatma.
It's the greatest of all. Yeah. Krishna. Krishna. Hare Krishna. At 3 points. One is about the non-devotees actions, how they are doomed to fail, and how this is connected with book distribution, and how devotees, you know, we are our responsibility is to go out and chant and distribute books and all that. And the other one is about, well, okay, I'll tell you about this. So I didn't want to go because of the rain, because of the heat, because of my mind, because of this and that. You know, sometimes I don't want to go out. But I know that as soon as I get there, then it's a completely different scene. So I went out yesterday, and it was raining, very few people. But I met one person, one boy. Then as soon as he got the book, he said to me, "Oh, what is this all about?" So I told him about, you know, this will bring peace to your heart, it will relax you, it will help you to be a better person. And he says, "Oh my God, I need this because at night I cannot sleep. Let me see, what is this all about, you know?" So I looked for the mantra, the Maha Mantra, and he started saying the mantra. And I said, "Now you say this every night as many times as you can." And, you know, he asked me if it was in English and all that. But the point is that this is so important, you know, because they are doomed to fail. But if they get these books, if they get the holy name, then
that's wonderful.
Krishna
well
will,
done.
You
Hare
know,
Krishna.
Make a miracle. And the other one is about the penicillin.
By the what?
The antibiotics and penicillin and medicine and all this.
Right.
How sad the world is now. I was listening to this news that in California, the euthanasia is approved, you know, to kill someone that is suffering from terminal illness or is just too old to live anymore. So the doctors are allowed, they have a permission to go and give them the drugs so they can die. But so this is very sad news. But on the other hand, the doctors, they don't want to be identified as the ones that can do this. So that tells you something about human nature, you know? I mean, we don't really want to kill anybody, you know?
Right.
We don't want to really kill anybody. So we have to preach to those doctors now.
Something.
And the third is about how Krishna is indebted to the devotees.
Yeah.
And that we're not gopis. But at the same time, Krishna will bring miracles to your life, even if we're not gopis, even if we're the most insignificant souls in the whole world. I was at the flea market selling items, and I did have one side of books, Bhagavad Gita, and I was selling some items that devotees give as donations so I can continue my preaching engagements, but nothing was being sold. Mahananda was next to me, he's also selling his jewelry. So nothing was being sold, you know. So at least I was giving flyers to all the Spanish people and like that. But this gentleman came and took a look at some item I had that said gold. It was given to me with a price. The price was $5. So I didn't mess with it. I just left the price. There were other items that said they were silver, so $3, $2, whatever. So this gentleman said to me, this says $5, but it's real gold. So I will give you $40 for it.
Wow.
And I had no idea, I don't know, you know, so I said, oh, thank you. Thank you, good, yeah, okay. I'll take the $40. So he gave the $40, and then I turned around and I said, I'm going to give you a Bhagavad Gita now. You should get this book because this talks about morality and human and nature. And you have shown me something that you don't see very often, you know. So he recognized the Bhagavad Gita and everything. So that was another issue. But the point is that, yeah, Krishna reciprocates. Even when you're not, you know, even if you're not gopi and even if you're not doing direct service as preaching or whatever, Krishna sees your efforts and he brings whatever you need to your life for whatever reasons. Even if we're not gopis, he still reciprocates at every single moment.
Thank you very much.
Miracles, Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. Great. Anything else? Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai.
He found out about the Shana through my cage presbyterian. And now he's so dedicated.